Let's sing our Sunday night choruses. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. Oh, it is wonderful to be a Christian. Oh, it is wonderful to be God's child. Oh, it is wonderful to have your sins forgiven. Oh, it is wonderful to be redeemed, justified, forever reconciled. This morning we preached on Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 20. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. And Pastor Braden must have been in mind of the fact that the summer is ended and the winter is coming, because we started with showers of blessings and ended with whiter than snow. And so I guess he's following the weather patterns and seeing what's coming and knows that. He could be more reliable in his song leading than the meteorologist can be any day of the week. I can give you that. So we'll see how that works out. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 this evening, if you would, in your Bible. The book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 3. We have been going through the book of 1 Corinthians, and tonight we get to this chapter. We're going to look at the first 8 verses and mainly focus on the first 3. But we will cover the first 8 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. If you found your place there in the Word of God, I will read aloud. If you would follow along with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse number 1. And the scriptures say, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. But ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor." We'll stop our reading there tonight. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, we thank you for this Sunday evening. We thank you for this fellowship of believers and this time that we can gather together, withdraw from, Lord, the activities of the world. Pause just a moment as we look into the work week and the days that are before us, not knowing, Father, everything that they'll hold, but God, knowing that you hold them. And Father, you hold us in the palm of your hand. And so we ask for your presence tonight. We ask for your power. We ask for clarity in our understanding of this passage of Scripture. And Lord, we just pray that you'd meet with us and make our time of fellowship sweet one with another. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been going through 1 Corinthians, and if I could take you back to chapter 2 for just a moment, Paul is addressing different people, or identifying different groups, if we want to say it this way. Back in chapter 2, look at verse number 14, where Paul said this, chapter 2 and verse 14, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God." Now, we covered this last week, so we'll not go back over it again, but let me just say this. There is a group, or there is a division among people, and one of those groups is called the natural man, or we can say the natural woman. Who is that? That is the unsaved person. That is the natural person that does what comes naturally. Can I tell you, don't do what comes naturally. We're going to talk about babes in just a minute, and don't do what comes naturally to a baby. All right, the natural man the Bible says, does what nature tells him to do. Look, if you would, with me at, I'm looking for my verse reference here, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And verse number 3. Ephesians chapter 2 gives us a description of the natural man, really, from verse number 2 and verse number 3, where in time past, in verse 2, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. The spirit now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's the natural man, verse 3. Among whom also, Ephesians 2:3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, notice those words, were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So the Bible describes the natural person, the natural man, that way that we are born, the way that we come into the world, as contrary to God, and contrary to the things of God. Contrary to righteousness, we're according to the prince of the power of the air, we're children of disobedience, we're wrought up in the lusts of our flesh and fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind. By nature, by our human nature, we are the children of wrath. Why does the world have a problem tonight? Because they're in their human nature. Human nature is not a good thing. Human nature is not ascending. Human nature is not getting better. Human nature is not improving. And so the Bible says that the natural man, it describes those that are without Christ, those that have no hope. And it says about the natural man, look back if you would to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, that he receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. There's the problem with the natural man. He's at enmity against God. We talked about that word this morning. Man is at enmity against God. There's a division, there's a strife between them, and man really doesn't want anything to do with God. He receiveth not the things. He doesn't want to think about God. He doesn't want to contemplate eternity. He doesn't want to think about giving an account. He doesn't want to think about death. The natural man in his natural state is just seeking after that which is natural. There, it's no different than an animal seeking out that which pleases itself. You talk to it nice, it responds. You can be saying the meanest words. You know how those animals are. You can say the meanest words in a nice tone of voice and they just look at you like everything's just fine and dandy. The natural man has no discernment for the things of the Spirit of God. No understanding of those things. He receiveth not, the Bible says, the things of the Spirit of God. Look back at chapter 1 and verse number 18. Paul told us this already. Chapter 1 and verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish, that's the natural man, foolishness. All right, he cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. That's the natural man. I hope this evening that no one under the sound of my voice here in this auditorium, and really anyone listening by way of live stream tonight, I hope you're not still the natural man or the natural woman. You cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. Now, a natural person can come to church, but they aren't going to get out of it what they need to get out of it. They'll come into church and say, oh, what a beautiful building. And it is. Oh, what nice lighting you've got in here. They'll compliment the building. They'll compliment the structure. They'll even say, oh, you've got such a friendly congregation, because we do, and it's obvious, and anybody can spot that. They might even come in and say, oh, I love the singing. I love the songs. And that the natural man can appreciate those things, but they can't receive them. They can't fully grasp them and understand. They might even appreciate the sermon. They might like the oratory or the delivery or that, but they cannot get the Word of God. They cannot receive what's there. And so the Bible, Paul describes in these verses, he describes that natural man. Wasn't Nicodemus one of those natural people? When Jesus tried to explain to him what the new birth was all about, he could have an interview with Jesus. He could sit there and talk across the table, as it were, with him. And he seemed to be hungry for what the Lord was offering there, but he didn't understand it. The Lord had to say to him, "Art thou a master in Israel and understandeth not these things?" Why? He was yet a natural man. He could not comprehend it. Look, if you would, with me, the book of Jude, right before the book of Revelation. The book of Jude. In verse number 19, it describes these natural people. The Bible one time in Jude calls them brute beasts. All right, that's the description that's given of the natural man. At war with God. Not wanting anything to do with God. Not wanting God to intervene in his life or interrupt his life or have anything to do with it. Now, it doesn't mean they have to be wicked and ungodly. Nicodemus was not. Nicodemus was a good, clean, living man. But he just could not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Jude verse 19 says, "These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit." Sensual, they respond to their senses, what they see, what they hear, what they feel, what they touch, what they taste. They are sensual. They're not spiritual. So Paul is talking to the church at Corinth about the natural man who receives not the things of the Spirit of God. I hope when you do a spiritual checkup, you don't find yourself as a natural person. The second group, go back to 1 Corinthians 2 if you would. We'll get to 1 Corinthians 3 in just a moment. But the second group in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, look at verse number 15. "But he that is spiritual judgeth all things." We talked about that verse last week and what it means, but let's simply say this. Here's the second group, or the second category, and that is he that is spiritual. As opposed to the natural man, there is the spiritual man. The natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God. The spiritual man can. The natural man cannot receive the things of God. The spiritual man can. In fact, the Bible tells us here in 2 Corinthians that we do receive it. He that is spiritual judgeth all things. Go back if you would. Verse number 12. "But we have received," Paul says to the believers, "we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." So there is a difference between the natural man and the supernatural man. Can we call it that way? The natural man and the spiritual man. The natural man cannot receive the things of God. The supernatural man, and don't let that puff up your ego too good. Don't start wearing a Superman shirt just because of that. But the supernatural man can receive the things of the Spirit of God. So there is a division in the world between the natural man and the spiritual man. Those who can discern things. Those that have experienced the second birth. Those to whom the Spirit of God can teach them how to live. How to walk. How to learn. You realize there's nothing that we did to pass from the natural to the supernatural. There's nothing in us or of us that made us determine that. It was faith in Jesus Christ. It is the new birth that did it all. Some folks are trying to reform themselves into being the new man in Christ, and you can't do it that way. It has to come by the new birth. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus, that natural man, but religious and good living, and God-loving. But he told him, "Ye must be born again." And he couldn't understand that. There's the natural man. There's the spiritual man. The spiritual man, the Bible tells us at the end of chapter 2, has the mind of Christ. But we have the mind of Christ. I hope I'm speaking to spiritual people tonight. And I believe that I am. You're no longer natural. You are now spiritual by faith in Jesus Christ, and you're progressing, you're learning, you're growing. The Spirit is guiding you, and we're moving forward. And that never stops until the day we get to heaven. Don't look at an older Christian, I can't wait till I get to that part of my life and I'm fully mature and I understand everything and I've got no sin to deal with and nothing to improve on. I got news for you. The eldest of us will tell you the same thing. It's a never-ending battle. It's an always growing experience, and praise the Lord for that. Once we get to heaven, there's no more battles. Once we get to heaven, there's no more fights. Once we get to heaven, there's no more growing. And so we're doing it right now down here on earth. Appreciate what we can do with God and for God and in God and through God. But understand that there's the difference between the spiritual and the natural. Now that brings us to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The natural man does that which is natural. The spiritual man does that which is supernatural. The carnal man, and when I say man, understand I mean men or women, does that which is unnatural. All right? The natural man does that which is natural. The spiritual man does that which is supernatural. The carnal man does that which is unnatural. And the reason it's unnatural is because he's no longer a natural man. He's been made a spiritual man. But he's still acting and developing like a natural man. Let's look at it. Look, if you would, here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. Paul says this, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." Can a Christian be carnal? That has been an age-old question and an age-old debate. I remember a good 40 years ago being handed a book by Dr. So-and-so. I couldn't even tell you his name, don't remember who it was. But it's a little pamphlet, a little book, and saying there is no such thing as a carnal Christian. And basically his conclusion was that if you're carnal, you're not a Christian. If you're carnal, you're still the natural man. But notice what Paul says, "And I," the next word, "brethren." Now, I understand that sometimes when Paul writes the word brethren in the New Testament, he's talking to the Jews. But in 1 Corinthians, he's not talking to the Jews. He's talking to Jews and Gentiles, and he wouldn't call them brethren if they weren't regenerated. He wouldn't call them brethren if they weren't saved. So when he says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual," he's speaking to those who are in the church at Corinth, those that have been born again by the Spirit of God. But the Bible says, "I could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not meat, for hitherto you're not able to bear it, neither are you now able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is strife among you and envying..." "There is among you envying, strife, division. Are you not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, another, I am Apollos, are ye not carnal?" These are believers in a church, but they're carnal. They're believers because look what he says in verse 5. "Who is Paul then? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed." All right, there's no question that these are Christians, but they're carnal Christians. He goes on to talk to them throughout these verses and throughout this passage and describe them in their carnality and show them exactly what they are and what they're like. He tells them in verse number 9, "For ye are laborers together with God." That's not true of a natural man. That's a saved person. "Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." He goes on to tell them many things throughout the chapter. He says in verse 23, "And ye are Christ's." So just establishing the fact that though the world is divided between that which is natural and that which is spiritual, even the church can be divided between that which is spiritual and that which is carnal. Now what I want you to do tonight is take a self-examination. See where you're at on this road. We got ready to go down to Camp Victory. I get my phone out with the GPS on it. I put my destination on there, and it shows me, here you are. And I look at how far away that's going to be, and I think of how long that's going to take and how far a drive that is and all the time that's involved in that. But it gives me a layout of how to get from here to there. The Bible wants us to see where we're at. Are we natural? Are we spiritual? Are we carnal? Now, I had Dustin retitle the sermon, not just the carnal Christian, but the carnal Christians at Corinth, to take the pressure off of you. So you could look at them and talk about them and not talk about us. And so we're looking at the carnal Christians of Corinth tonight. Let me look at, and here's the message tonight. That was the introduction. Here's the message. What made them carnal? If we want to make sure we are not carnal, if we want to watch the road signs and protect ourselves against it, if we want to be spiritual, again, I'm talking to a crowd that I believe has graduated from the natural to the spiritual. If we want to stay at the spiritual and not become carnal, what are the road signs? What are the warnings? What do we need to do? I believe Paul lays them out in these first three verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Look at verse number 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. You know what they had a problem with? They had a problem with their development. All right, verse number 1 said, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. He couldn't communicate with them on a mature level. He had to speak to them as babes in Christ. You know, it's a sad thing when a baby doesn't develop, when a baby doesn't grow. I thank God for the babies we've got here at Bible Baptist Church. And I mean those that are in the nursery. Not some that might be up here tonight, but the babies that are here at Bible Baptist Church. And you know, you can't talk to a baby the same way you talk to an adult. They don't understand it the same. They're just learning. They're just getting their feet wet. And other parts of their body. They're just getting themselves wet. But they're just growing and they're learning, and you can't speak to them the way you talk to a baby. And I've seen you ladies when you're holding a little bit, oh, isn't that precious, and ba-ba, goo-goo, and you know, you talk to the baby and that. All right, that's fine when you're talking to a baby. But if you get to be an adult and somebody has to talk so tenderly to you and softly to you and childishly to you, there's a problem. And that's exactly what Paul said right here. I couldn't speak to you as mature people, as developed people, as grown people. I had to speak. He says in verse 8, I could not speak unto you as to spiritual. His vocabulary with them was hindered by what he could say to them because they had not matured. They had not developed. There's something unnatural about that. We've all seen folks or known folks that have not developed properly, not developed normally. I don't say this to be harsh. I don't say this to be mean, but we've seen people like that. They might be 20, 23, 30 years old in the body physically, but they're still a child mentally. There's a defect. There's a problem, whatever you want to call it. We're not allowed to use certain words, so I'm trying to be careful in what I say, and even if I said a word I'm not supposed to say, I don't mean it in a way I'm not supposed to say it. Some of you might understand that, and some of you might not, but anyways. There are those that have not developed physically along with their, or mentally along with their physical body, and you have to handle them in such a way. You have to talk to them that way. We used to have some folks, I remember the Charlene's mom, used to bring some folks in, and they sat in that back corner in church on Wednesday nights. And I missed them. And they were from one of the local homes for those that were not developing correctly. And they'd sit back there. They were never disruptive, really. They'd make some sounds sometimes and things. But I just thought it was a tremendous blessing that they would come out here to Bible Baptist Church. One of the stinking, rotten things about COVID, and there's nothing good, was that all got shut down and that all got stopped because of that, and they discontinued being able to come and bring those kids out here. But it was a blessing to have them here with us. But you could see that there's a difference between them and us. Now, it doesn't make us better, you know. Again, I'm protecting myself, you know what I mean by that. But it was obvious that there was a developmental problem there, that they had not proceeded like they should. And Paul is telling the church at Corinth, that's your problem. You've been saved for an amount of time, but you have not developed. Your development has been retarded. It's been slowed down. It's been kept from progressing. And there's no reason it has to be that way. You've just chosen it to be that way. And so Paul is talking to them and some folks that have developmental issues in their faith. We've talked about our grandson Ben and his problem with his leg. And right now he's probably going crazy because he's probably hearing this. Because they get out of church, and Robert has told me as they're driving home, Ben's listening to our service right now. Hi, Ben. But he's got the rods in his femur, the two rods that are going through there, and sometime later he's going to have those rods taken out and two other rods put in, because as he grows, as he gets taller, he's going to have longer rods so that they don't restrict his growth and cause some kind of development. As that we grow, we develop and things change. And when things don't change and we don't grow and we don't develop, there is a problem. Paul said to the church at Corinth, you have a problem. You haven't developed right. You're behind the curve. You're slow. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. The kids were doing mathematical problems downstairs early this week down there. You know, the math that a second grader does is not the same math that a eighth grader does? Did you know that? Maybe you didn't know that, all right. The science projects that they do at one age are not. Why? Because you have to do it along your developmental lines. And the problems come when high schoolers cannot do work they should be doing in elementary school, and that's a great problem of our society today. But there should be some development, some things going on. And Paul said to this church at Corinth, whatever the reasons might be, and we could go a whole different direction and talk about the influence of Corinth and its philosophy and its emphasis on intellect and education and all that kind of stuff, and that's all true. But the problem was the believers there were not growing. They were not developing. And it's a sad thing. If you've been saved 5 years, you should be walking like a five-year-old. If you've been saved 10 years, you should be living and walking like a 10-year-old. And I don't mean a 10-year-old by natural standards, but biblically. 15, 20, 25, 30. The older we are in the Lord, it should show, it should reflect in the way that we develop, the way that we mature, the way that we learn, the way that we live, the way that we converse one with another. Paul said, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. They couldn't understand Paul's vocabulary. Know the vocabulary. Know the Christian words. Know the words that glorify and edify God. They had a problem, according to verse number 1. They had a problem with their development. Number 2, in verse number 2, and this is very familiar territory. I understand that. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. Not only did they have a problem with their development, they had a problem with their diet. Sorry, we're going to talk about diet. But we're talking about spiritual diet, so don't get too nervous. If anybody doesn't have to worry about, if there's anybody you don't have to worry about talking about diet, it's me. I'm not going to tell you what to eat and what not to eat and things like that, all right? But the problem with the church here is there was their diet. He said in verse number 2, I have fed you with milk. Well, that doesn't sound so bad, does it? Milk's not a bad thing. I had some last evening, put some on my Raisin Bran for my evening stack. Milk's not a bad thing. There's a lot of nutrition in milk. There's a lot of vitamins in milk. And so milk's not a bad thing. But if milk's all you can handle, then there's a problem. The Bible says we should desire the sincere milk of the Word. All right? That milk is a good thing, but there comes a point where babies are dependent on milk to grow and to develop. Their bones need it. Their development depends on it, and we feed them accordingly. But there comes a time where they have to move on to something else. Look, if you would, at Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. I believe Paul is the author of the book of Hebrews, and he addresses this subject again in chapter 5. And he says to these folks in verse number 11, Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11, Paul says, "Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing." This could be the same group he was talking about in Corinthians. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. They needed Sunday school lessons. They needed to go back to the beginning and be retaught from the very beginning. "And are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." There's nothing wrong with a baby's diet when the baby is still a baby. But as it grows, it needs something more. Aren't you glad that you don't have to eat a baby's diet? You remember feeding your kids those strained peas and tasting them to show them that they're good and trying not to make a face when you tasted them because they gave away that you weren't really strained beets? That ought to be against the law. Food that they make for the babies, the food they make for them. I'm glad that for babies, they need that. They need that stuff that's tender. They need that stuff they can swallow. They need that stuff they can handle. But thankfully, when you develop and you grow, you begin getting something that's a little bit better. You know, many times, and I don't feel it right here, many times pastors have to be nursemaids. And they have to keep developing and reheating milk. And giving the people milk because they can't handle anything past the milk stage. I don't want to be a nursemaid. I want to be a master chef. All right? I want to cook your steaks just right. Flip them over just at the right time. If you're a vegetarian, all right, I'll cook your celery, whatever you want. I'll grill that too. But as a pastor, I want to give you the meat of the Word of God. That's what challenges and motivates me also. That's what gets me into the Word of God, is knowing that I have to prepare a good meal for you when you come together. I am very conscious of the fact that you get up on Sunday morning and you come down here to Bible Baptist Church and you give of your time and you give of your schedule to come down here and sit together. And I know you do it for the Lord. I understand that. You're not doing it for me. You're doing it for the Lord, but you come and you sit in that pew and you open your Bible and I'm conscious of the fact that you are there and I need to have something for you. And I need to be able to give you something. And I wrestle with God many times. And I struggle over exactly what God wants me to give. And I don't want to give you milk. Sometimes I have to. Not because you can't handle anything. But sometimes we got to remember what the milk tastes like. And when I give you milk, brethren, it ain't going to be skimmed. When I give you milk, it ain't even going to be 2%. It's going to be the whole stuff, all right? I'll get myself in trouble one way or the other tonight, I know. But we need that meat. We need something that's solid. We need something that's going to cause us to grow. They had a problem with their diet. You know, a baby will eat anything. And that's the problem. You've got to be careful what you eat. You sit that baby at the high chair and you do the old airplane. I imagine you still do that. My dad did it with me. I did it with all my kids. My kids probably did it with their kids. But you get that spoonful of whatever it is they don't want, and you make it an airplane to get them to open their mouths. And say, "Here's the plane. It's going to land in the hangar. Open up the hangar so it can come in there." And they don't want it. They shut their mouth at the last minute. They spit it out when it comes in there. They make all kind of mess because they're babies. Then you take them out of the high chair, put them down on the floor to crawl. They find a dead fly and they eat it. Problem with a baby, it doesn't know what's good for it. It doesn't know right from wrong. Did you see that verse in Hebrews? Discerning what was right from wrong. That's why you need the meat of the Word of God. One of the lacking qualities in our churches today, I think, is that people are getting nothing but milk. I love milk. I love the story of David and Goliath. I love the parables that Jesus told. But did you know there's more to the parable than just the story? There's something behind it. Did you know there's more to just David and Goliath killing the giant? There's a wealth of information behind it. And we're always learning things and finding new things. But be careful as a babe, be careful of what you eat. And those of you that are mature Christians, help the babies. And I don't mean babies I mean a new convert. Somebody that comes to faith in Christ and is just beginning from a clean slate to grow. Help them that they know where to get the right food. I believe that if they come here, they'll get the right food. But if they go to the internet, there's no telling. They're going to end up eating flies. They go to YouTube and they go to some of that, they're not going to be able to discern right from wrong many times. And they're going to eat the wrong stuff. And that's a big problem in our churches today. And we'll get to that in the third point in just a moment. But make sure that they're eating the right stuff. Make sure you're eating the right stuff. Food doesn't have to be completely corrupted to be bad. When I get that milk out of the refrigerator, one of the first things I do, because we don't drink it in great excess at home. So one of the first things I do every time I grab that half-gallon jug we've got is I look at the expiration date. And if it's anywhere close to it, I sniff it. I make sure. And I will pour it out to make sure there's no lumps in there. Just a side note, we had one of our Coast Ryan girls out in our church in Micronesia. And of course, their complexion is very dark-skinned. And she asked me one time, why are white people white? Maybe I shouldn't have done this. I said, because we drink white milk. They don't have milk out there at all anyways. They don't even have cows to get milk from. So milk is a foreign commodity to them. But I said, we're white because we drink white milk. I didn't know that one of the stores was going to import white milk from California. And so this young girl went down to the store and bought some white milk and she drank it. And she came back to me and she said, how do you drink that stuff? And I said, what are you talking about? She said, I went down to Thurston's Market. I went down there and I bought some milk. And it tastes terrible. I said, well, what was wrong with it? She said, well, it wasn't too bad till I got these clumps. Well, they had ordered milk for the Pacific Islands from California. And they shipped it from California. Yeah. Can I tell you, by the time it got there, that expiration date was long gone. And she tried that, and she wondered, how in the world? And I had to confess the truth. I didn't want her trying it again after that, but let her know. But milk is good when milk is needed. But then we've got to get to the meat of the word. Then we've got to grow. We've got to develop. We've got to have the right diet. Be careful what you're eating. That's why many times I'll warn you, I'll just tell you this, and I wasn't planning on saying it, but that word carnal in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you don't have a King James Bible, it didn't say carnal. And that's the whole, we're talking about the carnal Christians at Corinth, and I couldn't put that title on it if it was a different translation, a different version, because they say worldly. And carnal is not necessarily worldly. Carnal is much more than worldly. You're not just worldly because you haven't developed. You're not just worldly because you haven't had the right diet. You're carnal. The word carnal comes from carne, comes from the flesh. It comes from not thinking clearly. It's not just worldliness. It's carnality. Why were they carnal? Because they had a problem with their development. They had a problem with their diet. Thirdly, lastly, they had a problem with their divisive spirit. They had a problem with their divisive spirit. Look at verse number 3. For ye are yet carnal. You know what their carnal led to? Their lack of development, their improper diet, led to division, led to dispute, led to internal problems within the church. When a church sees internal problems, that's not the problem, that's the result of the problem. You need to go back and find, that's just the symptom. There's something that caused it. The church at Corinth had a problem. The symptom was, in verse 3, there is among you envying and strife and divisions. Isn't that kids? Isn't that brothers and sisters, sibling rivalry kind of? You know, you go to a hotel and you get the kids and you go in the elevator and they fight and argue over who gets to push the up button. And World War III will break out before you get that thing settled. You know what happens in a church? People argue about who gets to push the up button. Now, it's not literally that, but it's as important as that. It's as big a deal as that is. Divisions in churches are usually not caused over doctrine. That's legitimate. Not caused over immorality. That's legitimate. Division in churches are usually just matters of preference. I don't like that color. I don't like the way they did that. I don't like the way they do that. You know what my answer is? And I'm being gracious and tender. Grow up. All right, that's all there is. Grow up. Everything's not going to be done the way you want it to be done. A child is that way, are they not? I've got a list here of characteristics of a baby. They're self-centered. They're always thinking about themselves. That baby's laying in the bed. It starts crying at night. It doesn't care where you're at or what you're doing, how hard your day was, how long your day was, how tired you are. It cries at 2 in the morning, and it wants somebody to come and take care of it. Don't give me any excuses. Just come and take care of me. We're born that way. We're born self-centered. They are completely dependent on others. They can't do anything for themselves. Again, we're talking about babies. We're talking about at the youngest age. They have short attention spans. I better move on from that one. They go for things that glitter. They're attracted to things that are spectacular. You know, you put those little carousels above them and, you know, hopefully they start reaching up for it and looking at it, stuff like that. Some folks never grow past that stage. Their own wants are predominant. That goes along with being self-centered. They're unable to feed themselves, protect themselves, defend themselves. They can't see beyond their own little world. Now, we love that about babies. We love being their protector. We love being their nurturer. We love for that stage in life, we love being that. But we sure want them to grow out of that eventually. We don't want them to be 5 years old and still doing that. We don't want them to be 25 years old and still doing that. Babies enjoy being the center of attention and learn how to get that attention. It's called a scream. It's called a yell. It's called getting everybody else's attention. And some folks never grow past that. They keep trying to get other people's attention. Whatever they've got to do it. Whatever they got to do to get it, however it has to happen, they'll do that. There's a divisive spirit. Paul said, there's among you envying and strife and division. Are you not carnal and walk as men? Talking about the natural man. While one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am Apollos. Are ye not carnal? And Paul emphasizes in the remaining verses, we're not going to go through the rest of them, but Paul emphasizes that Paul is nothing and Apollos is nothing. It's God that giveth the increase. We don't put our eyes on men. We don't be divided by those things. I was thinking about this. I've got about 6 or 7 sets of commentaries back there. Those are ones that I go to often and refer to when I want some help, when I want some thoughts, when I want some stimulation to get my brain working on something from Scripture. I've got 6 or 7 sets of commentaries, and it dawned on me today or the other day when I was thinking about this, all those guys are dead. All right, J. Vernon McGee, John Butler, John Phillips, all those guys whose commentaries I got, they're all dead. You know what I'm thankful for? I'm thankful that when they died, my faith didn't die. When they ceased to exist, my faith didn't cease to exist. Because too many times I see people that when their spiritual mentor or their spiritual leader passes off the scene, they flounder. They can't be faithful any longer because their loyalty was not to the Lord. Their loyalty was to a certain individual or a certain person. My pastor, I got to talk to somebody up in at the meeting this weekend, the men's retreat. I got to talk to a pastor that pastors in the area I grew up in Dearborn Heights. I grew up in Livonia. I got to talk to him about my pastor back in that day, see if he knew him at all, and he did. Wonderful man, but he died years and years ago. If my spirituality was based on him, I'd be in trouble. Not just those that have died, but you know, there's been some, I hate to tell you, that have fallen by the wayside. There's some preachers that I just used to hang on every word and love their preaching, and the world, the flesh, and the devil, something got in, got a hold of them, and they're no longer in the ministry. They're no longer serving God. They're no longer doing. If my faith was built on them, then when they fell, I would fall. Be careful of where your faith is. Don't. There's nothing wrong with having a favorite preacher. I'll tell you this: we went down to the men's retreat. We heard six different preachers, three different meetings, two at each time, three different sessions. And this is just a confession of my heart. And I was telling Dustin this, I think. Brother Griffiths can get up there and talk for 2 minutes and I get more out of that than some preachers in 45 minutes. And please don't misunderstand me. I'm not being critical of the other preachers. I'm not saying it wasn't good. I'm not saying there wasn't meat in it. I'm just saying that Brother Griffiths just rings my bell. Hey, he's got a word of communicating something and saying something. He got up one night. He wasn't even preaching that night. He just gave a little introduction about the prodigal son in the far country. You can never get too far that God can't reach you. He said, you can't get too dirty that God can't clean you. He wasn't even preaching. He was just giving an introduction to the next preacher. You can't get too dirty. He said, that guy was in the far country in the hog pen. He came straight from the hog pen in filthy rags, dirty clothes. And the father met him and went and wrapped his arms around him, gave him a kiss on the cheek. You can't get too dirty. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, I got to write this down, man. This stuff's good. And that wasn't even a sermon. That wasn't even that. Brother Griffiths is 73. Lord willing, he'll be around a long time, but if he ever passes off the scene, it's not going to affect my walk with God. Not going to affect my spiritual development because we're not following men. You know, the problem in Christianity is when somebody passes off the scene in many churches, the church falls apart. Well, now there can be outlying reasons for that, but one of the big reasons is there's been too much devotion to a person and not enough to what's behind it. Paul said, who is Apollos? Who is Paul? But men whom God has used. I'm thankful God's raising up men today. I'm thankful there are young men. As I get older, I'm thankful there's young men taking the place of older men. But don't be a man follower. Don't say, well, I want, you know, if he said it, it's right. If he didn't say it, it's wrong. Just be careful with those things. Paul said there's division. So neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. What were their problems? Well, they were, instead of being co-laborers, they were being competitors. All right? Paul and Apollos were co-laborers, and he wanted the church at Corinth to be co-laborers, but they were competitors. Well, I like Paul and I like Apollos, another place back early in chapter 1. Well, I like Peter, I like Cephas. He said, who are they but men whom God has used? Don't let your walk with God be dependent on somebody else. The church at Corinth did, and they were yet carnal. Are you a natural man? Are you a spiritual man or woman? And God help us that we not be carnal. Vance Havner said this. He said, the average church member, I'm trying to remember how he said it now. The average church member is so normal that if a spirit-filled man came in, he would be considered abnormal. And there's probably a lot of truth in that. We have lowered the standard in our day and our generation of what is spiritual and walking with God. And so Paul reminds the church, You've got a problem with your development. You've got a problem with your diet. You've got a problem with your divisive spirit. Guard yourself, Christian, that you be the spiritual man and not the carnal one. Let's stand together tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.